All right. It's Sunday, June 22nd, 2014. This is the 21st episode of Not Half Bad. This is Norman of Rumble in the Garden, covering St. John's basketball.
And this is Dave of OnTheBanks.com, which covers Rutgers basketball.
So, it's the off-season. It's World Cup season. I'm sure a lot of you are watching the games. The U.S. plays today against Portugal. Hopefully, by the time you hear this, the U.S. has a result, either a tie or a win. And other than that, I think both St. John's and Rutgers are... Well, they're in very different places.
Yeah.
Rutgers is in a place of you know, heavy, ponderous side.
And yeah.
St. John's, St. John's has a place of ponderous sigh as well, but for different reasons. St. John's had its lovely loss to Robert Morris, the NEC team, where they came in and pretty much blew out St. John's at home in Queens because St. John's didn't care enough to give a damn or whatever one wants to say about it. I mean, I think, you know, the team had a good game plan against St. John's, the Colonials, that is to say. And then after that, St. John's lost Jakar Sampson to the draft, Max Hooper to transfer to Oakland, and am I missing somebody? No, and then three players graduated.
So and talk five. About, there were a lot of rumors, right? There were a lot of transfer rumors.
Yeah, there were, at one point it seemed like much of the team would just leave. Chris Obekpa announced his intention to transfer. You know, there were rumors around D'Angelo Harrison, which I think were unfounded, and Phil Green as well, which I also think weren't unfounded, but they were unrealistic. So, Chris Obekpa was lured back, Rashid Jordan stayed, Harrison, Green all stayed, but Max Hooper left. And St. John's went and got a couple of recruits, Adonis De La Rosa, that they'd been recruiting for a while. And he's verbally committed, though we don't have the official notification yet. And then
really?
Keith Thomas, who's a JUCO forward from Westchester Community College.
Wait, De La Rosa never signed his NLI?
I think it's still coming, yeah.
Wow.
He might have some tests to take, or he just needs to finish his scores, so he high school stuff, so he gets a qualifying score.
Okay,
but I'm not sure. You know, there's been no real talk about that.
Okay.
And then other than that, St. John's has looked at a lot of players for transfers, who a lot of whom have said no. Robert Carter, most notably, who's gone on to Maryland. And are right now looking at Dominic Artis, who is a player from Oregon who got booted after being involved in a sexual assault allegation. Which wasn't, I mean, it's less of an allegation, more of a thing that happened that the DA feels that they can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt, because it's just a he said, she said, and the woman involved was complicit in going along with, I don't know, it's some part of it, I guess. I don't know. But for some reason, they feel that it's unprovable.
All right. So before we talk about all that stuff, I'll do a quick Rutgers recap.
Mm-hmm.
I believe where we last left off, Rutgers had lost by 61 points to Louisville in the AAC tournament. And Eddie Jordan fired associate head coach David Cox. Just wasn't a good fit. And then three players in Jerome Seagear's, Craig Brown and Devon Campbell all transferred. And Jordan went to work trying to fill all those holes. They looked at Charles Cook, who was a JMU transfer, a wing, who I believe ended up transferring to Dayton. I'm not sure. But he didn't pick Rutgers, although there was mutual interest there for a while. They landed Ryan Johnson, a player who averaged 27 points in a North Carolina league. He was like one of those sleeper wing players, supposed to be long. It was funny. He went from Rutgers is looking at 6'4 wing Ryan Johnson to 6'5 wing Ryan Johnson is on campus visiting, to 6'6 wing Ryan Johnson committed to Rutgers. And since then, not much else has happened. Eddie Jordan still hasn't filled the associate head coach position. And they offered a scholarship to a point guard, John Crosby, who had one scholarship offer from Quinnipiac and was going to prep because he had heard if he prepped SMU and Xavier and a couple bigger name teams would be interested, at least let him know they were interested. Jordan got Crosby on campus, offered him a scholarship for 2014. And since then, we haven't heard anything, and it looks like the staff has moved on. So a player chose to go prep over coming to Rutgers. And we're 9 days away from joining the Big Ten. So that's where Rutgers is.
So Rutgers actually has a commit, right?
They have one commit. Well, they have how many incoming players? One, two, three. They have a class of five right now coming in, but four of those five had committed before anybody transferred, before the end of the season, that sort of thing. They've only been able to land one commitment since the season ended after three players transferred, all of which would have been seniors.
And I mean, you know, sometimes players just decide to, you know, go prep and see what the better offers are. And maybe they come back to the school that wanted them the most. You know, St. John's had that with Malik Stith, who prepped to increase his offers, but then, you know, came to St. John's and ended up going to a Division II school to finish his career. So,
right. I think the Crosby thing was, you know, just being like, I mean, it's a kid's Twitter, so what are you going to say? But he seemed to really be enjoying his trip, and, you know, it was kind of like he was going to play.
Yeah.
You know, Miles Mack is not going to be able to play 35 minutes a night at point guard. And there are no other point guards on the roster. Mm-hmm. So the kid was going to play. And he seemed to be like the perfect fit for an Eddie Jordan team. 6'3", you know, great handle, pass first kind of player. And it just seemed like Jordan, I don't know if it's, you know, all the losing and everything that's gone on since or what happens. But it looks like the kid, I mean, I imagine the offer's still out there if the kid wants to come here. But it's been 2 weeks since the visit, and it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's weird. This time of the year, you know, you've got time. You don't have to sign by a certain date, so why not just wait?
Right. So I don't know if he kind of did the – it's also possible, I guess, he did the kind of date one girl to get the attention of the other girls kind of thing too. Mm-hmm.
That's not a thing. That never works. I don't know. Maybe because I couldn't get two dates in the same week.
That's possible, yeah. So I don't know what he heard, if anybody was whispering in his ear. I don't know any of that stuff. I'm just kind of going on speculation and that sort of thing. So but I think the more interesting thing for Rutgers is this lack of an associate head coach. He's got to get somebody in place by July 1st.
All those assistants anyway.
I know. Especially your top guy.
Well, you know, you could get somebody else to be the top guy. Who are the assistants right now?
Van Maken, who's a holdover from the Mike Rice era. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Triggs, who was a video guy from one of the NBA teams Rutgers worked, Eddie Jordan worked for, who had worked with West Virginia before.
Kyle Triggs.
Oh, he was And he's the one who apparently landed Ryan Johnson, the wing, the 6'4 to 6'6 wing.
Okay.
And they moved the director of basketball operations into a temporary recruiting role just so that it would have three guys out there. But
so now you don't think that they're waiting just because it's, you know, they want to wait until the new season starts? I mean, the new, calendar or whatever for the contracts, you know, July 1st or whatever.
It's possible, but, I mean, there hasn't even been rumors of names, you know, public rumors of names or anything. So you don't even know who he's looking at.
Eddie Jordan obviously just isn't playing well with the local reporters.
Yeah, apparently not. I don't know.
Or he doesn't have any ideas.
He doesn't. Yeah, or something's going on. I mean, the only rumor, and I think this was around when our last show was on, the only ever came out was Jerron Collins, and that was basically shot down the next day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. They had a bunch of kids on campus last week. So it seems like kids are actually still coming in and listening to what Jordan has to say. Mm-hmm. But they're 2016 and 2017 kids. It wasn't any of the impending for the 2015 class or even anybody left for 2014.
Yeah.
So they're in an interesting spot right now. They have a full team except that point guard. They have, I think, 11 players.
Yeah.
So the problem is going to be convincing or training one of the incoming players to be able to be a secondary ball handler behind Mack.
So who's on the team now?
So now Miles Mack and Kadeem Jack and Malik Kone are your three seniors. You have an incoming JUCO player, Bishop Daniels, who played for Miami for a little while.
Yeah, he could play point. He's like 6'6 and something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that he's a point guard, though.
Of course not. Nobody's really a point guard.
No.
Point guard's all in the mind.
Yeah. A New York guard, a freshman, a shooter, Mike Williams.
He could play point guard.
Maybe. Greg Lewis is still around. He's
he can play point guard badly.
Yep. DJ Foreman is a wing slash power forward.
I don't actually know what a DJ Foreman is.
He's a wing slash power forward. He's a freshman, incoming freshman.
Oh.
Yeah. Junior E2. Mm-hmm. And Kerwin Okoro still hanging around.
He can't play point guard.
No, I don't think that's likely. And Brian Johnson, who's a wing as well. So,
you know, how hard is it to play point guard anyway? I've seen the NBA. All you got to do is bring the ball up and, you know, not make bad passes. Oh, wait, that's hard.
So Miles Mack is going to be playing 40 minutes a game.
That's cool. He can Bryce Cotton it. If Bryce Cotton can do it, so can he.
Yeah, that's
what I don't know why they're not related in any way.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I think Rutgers fans, it's also been very, very quiet. I think Rutgers fans are kind of used to
drama.
It's nice that there's no drama, but when Mike Rice first took the job, he leaked names left and right because he wanted the fans to be excited.
Yeah, this is an important part of the job.
You know, and to keep the interest up. And look, who's the Syracuse center? Christmas. On campus, and like when Christmas was, you know, the number one big man recruit, and just getting him on campus, whether or not they were going to land him, you know. So there was some hope. Oh, there is some big news. I forgot some very good news. The rack is getting air conditioning, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard.
And the rack is getting air conditioning, so they're actually going to be able to use it in the summer. To show recruits where they'll be playing.
So when you go into the rack on a particularly steamy, like, spring day.
Yeah.
Does it just feel like sweat in your own BO?
Oh, yeah.
Do you smell yourself? I mean, do you know your neighbor smells well? Do you say, hey, it's Chuck. I know, because it's that weird smell of barbecue and beer.
I think you get used to it.
It's very old school. It's very Rio, you know?
I knew in the winter that I could wear a t-shirt under my winter jacket and just take the winter jacket off and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter, in like those 20 degree days. So we've never had a really hot early spring day when there was a game that I can remember.
Yeah.
So I think this was more for graduation, was really warm and, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news is two more scoreboards and air conditioning.
Cool.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, around St. John's, the famed bar Sly Fox is closing.
I saw.
Yeah.
You know people who spent many a day there?
I know people who have. I haven't really. I think I've only been once.
Is it as legendary as people said?
It's a bar. People are in it. You know, the coaches, the players sometimes pop through, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's, all right. Given the area... That's kind of notable, you know, and it's kind of fun. It makes it kind of that college-y, small-town feel, if that makes sense. I don't know if you've ever been out that way of Queens, but, you know, not saying there's nothing. It's just very fairly residential, you know?
Oh, all right. I kind of know what you mean. So, but I don't really know. I've been to St. John's Graduate School out on Long Island, but I've never been to their main campus.
Yeah. It's a nice campus. It's... I feel like it's smaller than you would think. but it always seems smaller than I think it is. But I also don't think that I've walked around the whole thing. You know, okay. it's just a weird campus. And I remember it from when I was young, because when I lived in Queens, I used to take the bus by it. You know, it took, you know, a few minutes to get past.
Right.
But it wasn't particularly residential, and it's very different than your, I don't know, Midwestern big college school or something like that. Or even like Rutgers, but I don't really know Rutgers that well. I've only like seen the edge of campus, I think.
Oh, all right. So, well, talk to me about this Dominic Artis thing. It looked like for a little bit yesterday he was going to commit, and then they kind of backed off that.
Well, it does seem that at least to I forget if it was Adam Zagoria or Zach Braziller, but it seemed like the school did need to sign off on bringing this kid in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Artis was a talented player coming out of high school, and he was, you know, a guard that Steve Lavin did chase. But the details of what happened, and, you know, there's stuff on our blog a little bit about that, and you can find Dominic Artis, Oregonian, and the Oregonian will have the text of the the police report. If you read it, it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
It's basically like a group sex thing that just seems like not a good idea, you know?
Right,
especially
right.
when you're, like, dealing with, like, drunken people. And I feel like as an athlete, you got to know that you could really get caught doing stupid stuff like that. I don't know why it's fun, you know, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing, you know?
Right.
That I think is really cool. Oh, you know, we're going to have this woman in a bathroom and three of us are going to be there going like, oh, do this. Just, you know, it's just gross stuff.
Yeah.
And so, again, okay. He's not arrested for it. But, you know, that's some unsavory stuff. So, for a team to be going after him, and considering that nobody else has, that's to say that St. John's right now is in a desperation mode.
Yeah.
A little bit, anyway. And part of that is because they know they have a lot of guys leaving, but part of it's also that, you know, they're pinning their hopes on a couple of transcendent talents in Chick Diallo and Isaiah Briscoe, but they're going to need more than that.
Right. So he's almost, at this point, looking past next year. I mean, because Artis wouldn't get a waiver.
No. He's from San Francisco, I think.
Right. So, do you think that's what Lavin's thinking? All right, let's now look closer to 2015, 2016?
Yeah, I mean, he's been looking towards 2015 for years, which explains the current recruiting effort, where he was just going after guys who popped up late for 2014 when he realized he needed holes. I don't think he expected Jakar Sampson to leave, but
right.
he knew that Sanchez would leave. He knew that Gift would leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why he wasn't recruiting at least one big man harder along with Adonis De La Rosa, unless he thought, you know, De La Rosa wouldn't commit if there was another big man. But you can get a lankier forward along with De La Rosa. De La Rosa is a back-to-the-basket big center,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think we've talked about this before, but Lavin's recruiting tactics because he's always been such a great closer, seemed kind of just off in 2014. Just
definitely.
I don't know what was going on. And then he kind of turned it up a notch and landed the JUCO and somebody else. Oh,
yeah,
De La Rosa.
I mean, it's kind of like realizing you have a final in a week and you haven't gone to class.
Yeah.
You know, and you're cramming. And, it's, you know, that works. I know I did that for much of my, you know, high school career, certainly, and into college. But at a certain point, you realize you don't need the stress, and you do a lot better if you planned a little bit.
Right. That's kind of what it seemed like, because it's not like he had a full roster and was surprised by all this, you know, transferring. I mean, I can remember before everything blew up in Rice's face in that, you know, month in between the last game and the tapes being released, Rice had a full roster, but he was out recruiting like you wouldn't believe all of a sudden, where he hadn't been doing that before, and it was because he knew he was going to have some transfers.
Yeah.
You know, and I almost feel the same. I when you compare it to Jordan, I feel with Jordan it's more of he thought he would have no problem landing kids, and he's finding it's more difficult, especially without an assistant, than he expected. At least that's the impression I'm getting. I don't have any information on that. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like two different situations. Two coaches that were unprepared but for different reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think – yeah, it seems – yeah, it seems like both coaches maybe had some hubristic kind of – just a belief that things would come together in a way that they wouldn't. And right. I think that that's a problem.
I think so, too. I think Jordan has more time to realize. I mean, he's not getting fired for a long time, you know, unless something there's a scandal or something. He has time because he's just there to kind of clean up the mess. And if he can turn the program around, that's great. But I think Jordan has some time to learn. I think Lavin.
No, Lavin's on the appearing in hot seat articles already.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got to get to the NCAA this year, and I don't see how he's going to do that with the roster he has right now. Do you think that roster is good enough?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I mean, I think – here's the thing. I haven't broken it down yet.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the issues with this roster is that there weren't enough guys to do certain bits of dirty work. There weren't guys who were just dedicated to rebounding. You know, Orlando Sanchez, that's one of the best things that he brought to the team, but he also maybe undermined that a little bit by wanting to take long jump shots. You have these forwards who aren't adding another level of threat. They're everybody shooting in the same range of mid-range. You know, nobody's shooting threes. Nobody's really getting to the paint. And that's very defensible, and it doesn't really leave a lot of space for other players.
Right.
You know, there's also just a general – there's something about – the players being a little overly similar to each other. So they do a lot of the same things, and they don't cover the gaps. So you have a lot of guys who are chase down blockers, and that's great, but you need some people to actually get in front of people and say, no, you're just going to have a hard shot, you know, to try something different. Because sometimes when that stuff isn't working and you're not getting turnovers, it was hard for St. John's to do anything else.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just needed stops, and they didn't know how to get stops that weren't blocks. Mm-hmm, or stops in times where, you know, the other person had them figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. So do you think he's – I know you said you haven't broken it down yet and it's early, but do you think he's addressed those issues with who he brought in?
Somewhat. I think Keith Thomas is a real – I think Keith Thomas can be very effective because he's only going to do one thing and he also can pass. And he's not going to try and prove that he can do 10 things at once.
Okay.
Because I feel like a lot of the players were just trying to do too much, and it was hard to get a good cohesive look. I think having Rashid Jordan back for another year means that he's going to be a better player. He was a better player than the year. He shot better. He passed better. And he and D'Angelo Harrison had a good rapport. I think that if you're just focusing on those two and everybody else is just working to play their roles, I think that means something. Instead of trying to get shots for Jakar Sampson, you know.
Yeah, I think Rutgers and St. John's have a couple of similar problems. I think Jordan's big focus this year is he keeps saying now, and he's done a couple interviews, you know, because they've asked about the Big Ten, and he keeps saying, you know, we're going to take our lumps, and the team's prepared for that because we're young. But he keeps talking about making sure everybody's in with the team. And I think we talked about this a lot last year, that there were too many heroes on the team that weren't good enough to be heroes. And I think he's trying to recruit players that'll play within his system. and fill roles. Now, whether or not they can fill those roles well enough, I think is an issue. I think Daniels and Mac and Jack will be a nice threesome, but I don't know if there's enough depth on this team, you know, to be able to make up for that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think this team could play a ton better than they did last year and more cohesively and still lose 20 games.
True. But, you know, then you're creating a framework that you can fill in and you can build on, you know?
Yeah.
And at least that's how I feel.
I think that's what Rutgers fans are hoping for is that the play comes together better next year. You're able to score an upset or two. Nobody's expecting, you know, even NIT. But I think they want to see something where it's not just a mess out there, you know, 60 or 70% of the time, which it was. So you need to see some better defense. You need to see somebody actually worrying about stopping a three-point shooter. And I think that's where the associate head coach, whoever Jordan finally brings in, is going to play a major role, because I don't think defense is Eddie's strong suit. I don't think it's ever been.
Apparently not.
No.
Last year.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's even been that in the pros, you know? So I think he needs to find somebody that he could trust to coach defense. And hopefully he will at some point before, you know, October.
All right. Well, good luck to Rutgers on that.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, St. John's has Jakar Sampson looking for hopefully getting a spot at the end of the draft this year.
Has he done any workouts? Has there been any reports?
Yeah, he's worked out for the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Celtics, the Grizzlies, and the Kings.
Oh, and have they been positive reports, or just has he worked out?
How can you say? I mean,
I don't know.
If you hear a report, it's probably trash. It's just like, oh, yeah, you know, he ground hard. And somebody was saying, everybody was really competitive, you know. Oh, the Golden State Warriors, they had, you know, some guys talking about how, like, yeah, you know, this guy has length, he's got blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They're all smoke shows. I mean, smoke screens, smoke shows.
Nobody's going to say anything horrible or overly nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Jakar Sampson. He's really unskilled. Nobody's going to say that.
Right. So, what's your gut? Do you think he goes, or is he a D-League pickup?
He's more of a D-League kind of guy. I think he has a lot of enough warts that it'll be really hard to see somebody pick him even like mid-second round.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Rutgers has nobody in the NBA draft?
Nope.
You know, J.J. Moore went to some camp, something that was supposed to be something NBA-like, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, you know, as long as they get a good foreign career, you know?
Yeah, you know, you want to see these. I just think we're looking at I've probably made this clear before, but I really thought that Jordan needed to do to speed up the length of the rebuild. He had to do one of two things last year, and he did neither. He either had to win, like completely surprise everybody, or he needed to have somebody blow up and be good enough that they went NBA. You know, and neither happened. So it's going to be a little longer journey, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Everybody's focused on football in the Big Ten and playing Penn State on September 13th.
So, you know, I guess Rutgers is going to become the next Penn State, a football school that goes, oh, yeah, basketball season.
Yeah.
Should I do something about that?
Yeah. Even Penn State's basketball program sounds like they have hope right now for some reason.
Sure, okay. That's because it's the off season.
Yeah, that's true. But usually Rutgers fans have hope in the off season, and I don't have much right now.
Okay.
I'm a little sad.
I guess if anybody has questions, they can always shoot them to us at nothalfbad@gmail.com or nothalfbadpod. I don't even remember our email.
Hold on. I can tell you our Twitter. I think we're not half bad.
NHB Pod.
NHB Pod is on Twitter, but I think it's nothalfbad@gmail.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So send us questions, and who knows, maybe we'll do another summer surprise if, you know, some news breaks. If nothing happens, we'll talk to you in, like, November.
And we'll be on the Twitters. I'm at East Coast Bias or E Coast Bias. And Dave's at Dave_White.
Yeah, buy my books.
Buy his books. They're right. Good. Where can people buy your books?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, all that stuff.
Cool. Dave White. They're good. What, mysteries would you call them, or thrillers?
Crime thriller.
Crime stuff. Thrillers.
There's explosions.
Explosions!
Yeah.
Well, this has been Not Half Bad, where we love explosions. Oh, and I forgot to beatbox, so I'll take us out with a beatbox.
Awesome.